taking this year to look at us as, well, to look at the child in each of us, the children around us, and also who we are as God's children. And this is the ninth in this message during the year, and I'll probably pause after this one. The last two have been really about discipline, and this is the third one on that, and this is more of a word study than anything else. So let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would speak to each of us concerning how you discipline your kids and how we receive that and how we understand that as your people. So I ask that you would bless this message and give it clarity for each of us in terms of how we live our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you a couple of covered scriptures. I would like for us to read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. And the book of Proverbs is really about wisdom in this life and how do you live it. So here we go. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a fair garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. That's just kind of a understanding of wisdom and who we are as God's kids. Today I want to give you a word study, actually, on the word for child and the word for discipline, so that we can get a deeper, richer understanding of who we are, how God perfects us through discipline. We're all God's kids if we know Jesus. So we need to understand that as kids, we are instructed, disciplined, just like you might instruct or discipline your children, or you were disciplined or instructed. So I'd like us to read this second Proverbs as a kind of a cover-all as well. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart always. Tie them about your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light. And the reproofs of discipline are the ways of life. Now, I want to talk to you. I want to begin by recapping a couple of things I said a couple of weeks ago. First of all, not all people are God's kids, children. All the people on earth are creatures of God's creation, but we are not all his children. If a person comes and accepts Jesus as Savior and Lord and is born above by the Spirit, then that person becomes a brother or sister of Jesus and an heir to the kingdom of heaven and becomes a son or daughter of God the Father. In other words, we are all God's creatures, but we are not all God's children. That's an important point, by the way. Knowing Jesus as Savior and you're in that process of making him Lord of your life and being born by the Spirit makes us God's kids, children. That's why on our mission statement it says to know Jesus as Savior and Lord and to make him known. If there is anyone here and you do not know who Jesus is as Savior, then I call you to come and accept him first as Savior and then begin that journey of making him Lord of your life in order that you might become a child of God. And you can talk to me at the end of the service if you want. and I will help you make that step. But if you know Jesus as Savior and you're in that process of making him Lord, then you are a child of God, whether you are 5 or 95 or anywhere in between. If God is your father, then like any good father, he disciplines his children, of which I am one, and I hope you are too. The subject of God's discipline is an unpopular subject with a large number of God's kids, and it's actually an unpopular subject for 3 reasons. The first reason is we don't like the subject of the Lord's discipline because none of us like to be disciplined in the first place. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. At least I never look forward to discipline. I don't know about you. As the writer of this passage in Hebrews, which we're going to read in a couple of minutes, he says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Amen. The second reason that the discipline of God is an unpopular subject is that many of us suffer from an absence of a model of a disciplining love or a discipline that comes out of love. There are many of us today who never had a model of somebody who not only loved us, but who also corrected us and instructed us and disciplined us along the way. The third reason that the subject of discipline isn't popular is that for some of us, it's the fact that we had an abusive model, a parent who abused us. And we begin to identify their actions with the idea of discipline when, in fact, they are not. And so we neglect or cringe at the idea of God actually disciplining any of us, and especially me, in any way. But the fact of the matter is that God does discipline us because he loves us. If he didn't love us, then we would not be his children. Now, I want you to read with me the Hebrews passage, and I have bold the times that discipline is used in here so that you can notice them. Here we go. And have you forgotten the exhortation which addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines him whom he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time at their pleasure, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, this passage here in Hebrews is probably the most profound scripture on the subject of God's discipline of his children. And because of that, I want to take a really close look here today at this. Today, I want to look at the meaning of the word child in the Greek language and how the word for child is related to the word for discipline, and then what it is entailed in the full spectrum of the idea of discipline. Now, not for just for scholarly buffs, but for our personal edification, how God works with you and me. Now, there are 3 words in the Greek language for the word child, and 1 word for son. The word for son is actually a generic term, which can mean son or daughter. Scripture says we are all being born again into the life of Jesus. We are all called sons of God, beloved. Now are we the sons of God. As many as received him, did he give power to become the sons of God. That is a generic use of the word. It's doesn't have a gender. We should all say to one another, you are a son of God or you are a daughter of God. In fact, let's do it. Turn to the person sitting next to you and say, you are a child of God. And say it back to them. You are a child of God. Now I want you to say this. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Now in saying that, we are simply saying that all the benefits that come to us through Jesus are ours. You are regarded as perfect and complete and provided for in Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son of the Father. Through faith in Jesus, we are saved and become children of the Father, but we are all in different phases of development as His children. Now, there are three words that are used for child in the Greek language, and they are napios, technon, and paideion, and let me tell you about each of those. Napios is the word for infant. Technon, or technos, is the little kid who can get around, but it's not readily able to be taught anything meaty. It's a toddler, basically, a technon, or technos. You can potty train them, but they really aren't ready for major things concerning their life or how that their life is to be. Paideion, or the plural is paideia, is the word for a child who is someplace between the ages of 5 to 11, basically. A paideion is a child who is old enough to understand, to read, to train, to learn, and function in society. The child is still young, but old enough to teach significant things to about life. Now, if we push this word, it could be covered like from 4 to 12 or something like that, but possibly from potty training to puberty, you might say. When it comes to larger matters of life, there comes a time of training. And there's learning when some maturity of mind is involved. A child in grade school in the Greek language is paideion. Now the verb discipline in the Greek language is the word paideo, and the noun for discipline is paideia. So the verb and the form of discipline and the noun form are derivatives of paideion, which is the word for child. They're related closely. The reason I make this observation is actually not to impress you with my Greek scholarship, but to raise up to you the consciousness that the whole idea of discipline is actually related to a child that is old enough to understand. And from this we can figure that out that God never disciplines anybody when they aren't able to come to some kind of understanding as to what is going on and why he's doing it. This does not mean, by the way, that we will like it or agree with it. It just means we can come to some understanding of it. So speaking as one child of God to other children of God, I want you to know that you'll never be disciplined by God and not be able to understand what he is doing if you really want to. Now the key there is if you really want to. You may not like it, and you may not respond in the right way, and you don't even have to respond in the correct way, but you can understand it at some point if you want to. It was not always necessary that my kids respond in some particular way when I corrected them with my voice or my hand, but they were old enough to learn, and so are we. And God expects us to learn and come to understanding. The shaping discipline of God's words begins to become available to us, and we need to respond. Now, when the discipline of God's word comes to you, you can understand it if you want to. You may not want to, but you can understand it. Now, somebody's probably forming the question, well, how do I know if it's God's disciplining hand on me and not the work of the devil, because they're quite similar at times? Well, that is actually difficult to get a handle on at times, except to say that the more you grow in God's words, and the more you come to an understanding of His ways, the easier it gets to pick out the disciplining action of God as opposed to the work of Satan. One overriding rule, though, that I've come to understand is this. If it is not ultimately a destructive situation eternally, or the consequences of my own fool actions or words, then there's a good chance it's God's disciplining hand shaping me, and especially if I grow through it and I look back on it, I can tell that it was His hand of discipline on me. Now, the farther we progress in our growing as God's people, the more we see, and sometimes we'll come to a point where we look around us and we see some of God's kids who just seem to get away with bloody murder in their spiritual life. They do dumb things. They're inconsistent. You look at baby Christians, and you know there are some people who have been little baby Christians for a long time, and they never grow up. They never grow at all. They're very immature. They don't grow. And it seems that the Father is infinitely patient with them. And you begin to wonder and sometimes become indignant. And you think, well, why can't I get away with what they get away with? Have you ever felt that way? I have. What's going on here? How come they can get away with this and I can't? How come, Lord? For me, I know this. He expects more from me than you. It has to do with being a leader and an agent of God. And I had an elder explain it to me, and this kind of worked for me because this picture works. He said, you know, Jack, there's a double standard in ministry. He says, it's okay for the sheep to mess on the path, but it ain't too cool if the shepherd does it. And I got the understanding of that. He expects more from me. You know, I tell you what, if I turn to the Father and say that, you know, how come they can get away with it? You know what He's going to say to me? They're not your business, Jack. And if you persist and say things like, hey, God, what's going on here? How come you're dealing with them differently than you are me? And the Lord will say, hey, what's wrong with you? You've got more revelation than they do. I expect more from you. You know, I expect more from an 11-year-old than I do from a 6-year-old. I expect more. That's why I deal with you differently. And as you grow in the faith, as you grow in your maturity, He's going to expect more from you. And it's at that point when I can, you know, when I complain about that, I hear a firmness in His voice, and I begin to get a few more of those BTUs off the burning bush, where He says, you straighten up. And He says, yes, sir, I will. And the Lord deals with us as sons and daughters, and He deals with us where we are, and who we are specifically. He disciplines us, and He does it in the full spectrum of the word discipline. So I want to look at the word discipline as it comes to us from the Bible as part of this thing. Now, I told you that there's a close relationship between the word child and the word discipline. In the Hebrews chapter 12 here, where you've got it printed in your bulletin, and I have the word discipline bold in print here, running down to verse 11 or 12. The word discipline is used 8 times in the Greek. In verse 5, it says, through discipline, it says that God punishes us. Now, another good word for that, if you change it, would be the word rebuke. In verse 9, it says that through discipline, we are corrected. That doesn't come through in the English language, but the idea is the discipline is correction. in verse 10, it says that through discipline, God makes us better or does it for our good. Now, a good word for that would be profit. You know, like, for what does it profit a man? So discipline has in it the idea of rebuke and punishment, the idea of correction, and the idea of profit or for our good. Now, to rebuke means to point out or call attention to where something is wrong, to show us our faults, reprove us in a forceful manner. The idea of correct means to having pointed out the fault, then it shows us what ought to be done instead in order to correct the problem. And the word for our good or profit means that it's on the experiential and it's on the real level of this world. The disciplines to help us live in this world. Now, let me deal with the idea of punishment or rebuke first as part of discipline. I personally like the idea of rebuke better than I do the word punishment because it has a fuller meaning to it. I also like the word rebuke because it doesn't carry all the baggage that punish does. If I were to talk to you about how God punishes us, this is the way many of us would see how God punishes. He's standing in heaven. He's watching his son, Jack, you might say, or put your own name in there. And God leans over to Jesus and he says, if he takes another step in that direction, he's heading for trouble. I'll watch and see what he does. Ah, there he did it. He's even taking three more steps. Ha, 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 I'll get him. I've got him now. And I've been waiting for a chance to get down in his face. He's really going to get it now. And I'll give him a few more days and then he better look out. Ha, 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 I'll get him. And that's the way some of us think about this stuff. If I use the word punish. God watching for a chance to deal sharply with us. Then he launches a lightning bolt, and rebuke in verse 5 is a better word because it doesn't carry that weighted meaning that comes across in our society. Rebuke means this in terms of discipline. God is watching our lives, and comes a point where he says, one more step that way, and he's heading for trouble, and that is the point where beginning discipline really starts. The Father, by his Spirit, begins to deal with me. Now, it's not a beating or a spanking or a workover, but a word of guidance. But it can be a stern word of guidance, a rebuke. Rebuke means sharp correction. It means discipline that instructs a child with words that castigate, that cut into us, like a surgeon will cut into us to remove something that is bad or fix something in us. In the training of our children, there are words that are said with different force. And if you've been a parent or are a parent, you know this. Rebuke means with force. There's a big difference between softly saying, now leave that alone, and Buster, if you don't leave that alone, there's a difference in how that's handled. If I want to get their attention and they keep denying that, there's a difference. If you don't treat your mother right, you and I are going to be out in the backyard. That's a rebuke. In one instance, things may take place, and in another, there comes a cutting edge of force with the use of words that is instructive and corrective, and they get things moving fast. And don't you think that God does that to us sometimes? If you're going to be this way, you're heading for deep trouble. It's not a matter of brutal words inducing a child to tears, but it can happen. And those forceful words bring us to a point of understanding very quickly. I have had every one of my four kids standing in front of me shuddering just at the force of my words. And it is a loving father who said it to them. But things need to be brought to a point of understanding. And the Heavenly Father will rebuke us and castigate us with words at times, and He will get our attention and bring us to a point of understanding. Paiduo, also, that's the word discipline, also means teaching a child with corporal punishment, physical. Spankings, we would call that. The word has the idea of beating tied to it, but not the beating with, you might say, with a closed fist or some kind of metal bar. We're talking, though, about something that is solidly establishing pain and the recognition that standards and expectations have been violated, and they are standards and expectations that were known before they violated them. And this kind of correction is also part of the definition of discipline, paiduo. It's a word that runs the full spectrum, you might say, of discipline. It runs from shaping correction to verbal correction to instruction, where there are strong words of reproof and even to physical punishment. In other words, God is saying to us, whatever it takes to teach you and make a point, I will do it, and I will do it because you are my kids. Now, we're adults in body, but we're still kids. Don't think that you are the exception to the rule. God says, if I speak a word like stop, and that is all it takes, well, fine. If I have to say stop, and I want you to understand this, well, then He'll say, you don't need to be going that way. And He'll give us instruction. He will do that. If it comes down to stop and then instruct you in terms of where the way you should go, then there's still a need where He says, I want you to stop it. Then He will do that. And friends, God says to us, if that doesn't get the job done, if it takes a spanking treatment of some kind, then I will do that. The discipline of God, however, is not just a disciplining hand that spanks us firmly at the physical dimension. I want you to see His hand also as a hand that reaches out and touches. They said, wait, where you stop a kid. Stop right there. Or see Him take His hand and He turns to you from one course. He says, no, don't go that way. Go over that way. Where He tells us where we need to go. And He stops you, but He turns you in the right direction. See, God uses His hand to turn you towards Him. I've done this with my kids, where you grab them and you say, hey, I'm talking to you. I've seen God do that with a few of His kids too, where He gets you face to face. He will get right down in your face with His finger at you, and He'll say, now you listen to me. God disciplines us in so many ways. And it doesn't matter what your age is or anything. If we're His kids, He's going to be dealing with us. It's not just spanking either. It can be a hand of caution, a hand pointing in a direction, or a harsh address when that's needed to get our attention. Or sometimes it's just instruction. He says, don't do it that way. Do it this way. That's part of the discipline of God. One of the things that we need to really learn as God's people is to remain teachable. You don't know it all. Neither do I. And I want you to see the discipline of God in its full spectrum as His love for His kids and the care and love that He gives to us. So He will rebuke us. But not only rebuke us, He will instruct us. He may just say, stop, and sometimes that's all He needs to do. But He may also add a word to it. He said, now, here's what I want you to do. And He'll teach us as well. Discipline, then, entails the reproof that says you are doing the wrong thing, but it entails also the correction where it tells you that you ought to do it, what you ought to do in that situation. The Lord does not leave us adrift, wondering what we should do. if we will listen. And that's on you, if we will listen. Discipline is not just a harsh word coming out of heaven, accompanied by a bolt of lightning. It's a word of the Spirit of God coming to you and me, and it can come by many different ways, but the word comes and we hear it, we recognize it, and the Scripture says it is for our good. It profits us. It is for our good. Suddenly we are jerked to attention. Something starts to come together. We recognize the discipline, the correction, the instruction, the rebuke, the reproof, but it's for our own good. Now, I want you to note a couple things as I close. First, God administers discipline and directs instructions as to his will for our lives. God does it. But the other side of this subject is our response to that discipline. It is our response to his discipline that determines his response. You need to hear this. It is our response to his discipline that determines his response. Jesus did the will of his Father, and his Father affirmed him by saying, "Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." My dad, I don't know how many times he said it, but he said, "I have one brother." He said, "You boys will do as you please with your lives." He says, "My job as your father is to change that so that you will do what God says to please him." And I don't know how many times he says it, but I listened to those words that God said about his son Jesus. He says, "In whom I am well pleased." We may all be God's kids, but he may not actually always be pleased with all of us. Do you understand the difference? I don't know about you, but I want to be pleasing to my Father in heaven, and I hope you do too. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to all of us about your relationship to us as a parent. And that you would show us and help us to see better when you bring these things to our attention and how to live our lives for our good in this world and the good of others. In Jesus' name, amen.